The scripture for our sermon this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. We've been looking at 1 Peter for our sermons for the past several weeks. And as I put this sermon together, knowing that we had installation and ordination of officers, we still have some baptisms to come, and we still have the table to come too. I realized that I probably needed to change direction a little bit from my normal sermon length and content. And so this morning, we are prepared through the sermon to come both to the font, the baptismal font, and to the table. And I think that you'll see that this reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, they really do. It really does lead us to the font and to the table. So give your attention to Peter's words from 1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let's pray that the Lord would help us to understand his holy word. Lord, we are sinners with sinful minds and sinful hearts and sinful lives. What hope do we have to understand your holy word and all that it says? Our only hope is the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, through him, would you speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, show us what is true, and transform us, Lord, with the hope of the gospel of Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen. Three quick points from 1 Peter, and we're going to call this part one. We will revisit this text next week to get into more detail of what Peter is saying. But for the sake of coming to the baptismal font, for the sake of coming to the table, three little comments from what Peter has said so far. The first is this: we must come to him. That's what Peter says in verse 4. Listen again to how he starts. As you come to him, that is the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Peter says, as you come to him. Now, last week, if you were here for the sermon, or if you have your Bible open, you can look at the three verses just before this, and you'll see that what he has just said is that they are the ones who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. If you have tasted of the goodness of the Lord, and if you hold firmly to that faith, he warns. He says, you have come to him. And as you come to him, you need to keep coming to him. And so we must come to Jesus. We must come to Jesus. If we've tasted and seen of God's goodness, we will come to Jesus. We will come again to Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, those familiar words. Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Peter says we must come to him. Jesus says, "Come to me." All said in the positive. But you know, there is a place where it's spoken in the negative. And it's Jesus doing the speaking in John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40. It's the same point that you must come to Jesus, but here Jesus says that some refuse to come to him. Listen to what he says. Speaking to the Pharisees, he says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me," Jesus says, "yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." And so we must come to Jesus. That's the message of the Bible. There's no surprise to hear the preacher say that this morning. We must come to Jesus. But we must come to Jesus by faith in what he has done and who he is. We come to him, that precious stone, Peter says. We come believing in him. Because as Peter would say in his sermon in Acts chapter 4, the same Peter, he says, "Because there is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved." We must come to him. And we must come by faith in who he is and what he has done. When people come to Jesus, the story, the picture of it is always the same. It results in the confession of sin, the honest telling of who we are. "I am a great sinner." And then it comes followed by the profession of faith that he is a great Savior, right? "I am a miserable, lost, ruined sinner." That is our confession of sin. But the profession of faith of who Jesus is as a tender and merciful King is our profession of faith. We come to him. We come to him by faith in the Lord Jesus. Peter says in verse 5, we come to him because he alone is the one that can make us acceptable to God. It's Jesus alone, the perfect righteousness of Jesus alone that can make a sinner acceptable to a holy God. And then in verse 7, he says that Jesus alone is the perfect cornerstone. Now here is where Peter references both Isaiah and from the Psalms, this reference of the cornerstone and the perfect cornerstone. Sinclair Ferguson speaks of this, saying, "We've got to understand that God in this image is the master mason." Now, I don't know a whole lot about the work of a mason or masonry. Only thing I ever done like that is a very poor tile job done by myself. But I did learn an important principle in that poor tile job that I did. And that is that first tile that you lay on the ground, it needs to be true. It needs to be square. And it's supposed to be near the center of the room to keep everything in order as it builds on from there. That was what I got wrong. That first piece, it's got to be true. It's got to be square. It's got to be perfect. And in that way, Jesus is the perfect cornerstone, the first stone laid so that everything else comes from it and is built from it. The sure foundation, the properly fitted and set stone, that is the Lord Jesus whom we put our faith in. It is him alone. He is the perfect cornerstone. And Peter says that the Lord Jesus that perfect stone, and that we, like him, like living stones, the architect and builder that God is building us up into something. It's what he calls the house of God, which the same imagery we heard earlier in other passages. But God is the master mason who's taking these living stones and he's building something with them. Now, you and I, we're used to cinder blocks and bricks. Everything's uniform and looks the same. But the imagery here is of various stones. Different sized stones, different shapes of stones, these living stones being built up into something beautiful and useful. And it says that God is the architect of this building. He's the builder of it. He has the plans. He knows what he's doing. The beautiful thing that we're seeing in our service today is that there is an architect. There is a builder of the church. And sometimes we wonder if he's at work. Is he doing anything? Well, today we're reminded that he is. He is building his church with new officers. And he's building his church with new worshipers too. As people come and do what we heard earlier, they confess their sins and they profess their faith in Jesus. God is the architect. He's the builder of his church. He's at work and he's doing something. And those who come to him, those who come to him by faith in the Lord Jesus, Peter says they are redefined and they are repurposed by God's grace and God's mercy in this life. We'll go into this detail next week, but you've got to hear and appreciate that mercy and grace and what God says he does with sinners. He says that these people, because their faith is in Jesus, they are God's chosen people. They're a royal priesthood. They're a holy nation. And that they are God's special possession, his treasured possession. And that they are being built into this useful spiritual house that is to offer perpetual praise. God the architect, God the builder, is building a house of worship out of people that they might declare his praise, he says in verse 9. This morning we have the benefit of seeing that it's all true. Everything Peter says is true. God is really doing it. He is building his church. He is calling a people to confess their sins and to profess their faith in the Lord Jesus.